As a pastor and a counselor, I've seen the insides of lots of families. And some families are full of unsavory elements. They're all tangled up. You know, this has been true from the start. In the first family of the world, jealousy develops between the sons. Cain attacks his brother Abel in the field and kills him. Later in Genesis, the father Jacob shows obvious favoritism to one of his 12 sons, Joseph, and this creates tension that lasts for years. I've worked with abusive families, marriages falling apart, children in rebellion, children who don't talk to their parents. And you know, in your church and in your community, families experience problems. How can you help families in your church untangle their messes? Tool number one is to use a family systems view. Think of it this way. A home is heated with a system. When the temperature drops, the thermostat sends a signal to the furnace. The burner ignites, a fan distributes heat. When the temperature is right, the thermostat signals the furnace, and the burner and the fan shut off. This illustrates the workings of a family. A change in the behavior of one member kicks off changes in everyone else. Eventually, hopefully, a level of stability is attained, a homeostasis. But then another change in a family member brings a new round of changes. Picture a couple with a newborn child. The intense care needed by the newborn profoundly affects the mother, if she's the primary caregiver. If she's appropriately responsive to the newborn child, her attention to her husband is reduced. She only has a fixed amount of energy to go around. This affects the feelings of her husband and may cause stress in the marriage. The strain on the marriage requires more communication between the spouses, and hopefully adjustments are made and a new homeostasis is reached. Tool number two is the family health continuum. Good family health requires two primary elements, and both are crucial. These two elements fit on a continuum. One element is closeness, belonging, a sense of love. I feel close to the members of my family, a sense of connectedness. I'm a part of this family. The Bible emphasizes the importance of belonging, of closeness in the church, which is first learned in the family. Romans 12:5, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Psalm 68:6, God sets the lonely in families. An extreme example of closeness is enmeshment, where there's a low tolerance for individuality, where people talk for each other, where they do everything together, and there's little sense of privacy for the individual. The second element for a healthy family is separateness, individuality. I'm a distinct individual, a sense of identity. I have a direction and calling that's different from anyone else in my family. The Bible also emphasizes distinct personhood. At 12 years of age, Jesus said to his parents, "Why were you searching for me? Don't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" In Galatians, you read, "For each one should carry their own load." An extreme example of separateness is disengagement or independence, a low tolerance for closeness. People tend not to respond quickly to family emergencies. There's little or no sense of belonging and little interaction. A healthy family balances these two elements. A balanced family generously expresses unconditional love, but not in a smothering way. They acknowledge the individuality of each person and encourage appropriate independence. They celebrate the achievements of individuals, even though these achievements are different from the achievements of others in the family. After listing many gifts of the Spirit, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:11, all these are works of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them all to each one, just as he determines. Tool number three is family boundaries. Boundaries describe the type of interaction between the family and her environment. Boundaries in a family can be thick and impermeable. This describes the enmeshed family. Family members are close, perhaps too close. It's hard for someone outside the family to get in. They talk for each other, live in a puppy pile, do everything together, and come together for protection. This family has many secrets. Those inside know the secrets, but no one outside the family is told these secrets. And as you can imagine, few good things come out of family secrets. We usually hide things that make us ashamed. Our secrets are our illnesses. Permeable boundaries show the disengaged family. In a disengaged family, members are closer to people outside the family than to each other. Disengaged family members initiate little contact with each other. They feel little sense of belonging to each other. Healthy families enjoy a boundary thick enough to enjoy closeness and security and identity. We're a family. But the boundaries are permeable enough to allow the family to benefit from the surrounding environment, to enjoy outside resources, to hear a variety of thoughts expressed. This brings richness to the family. A healthy family has an identity as disciples of Jesus Christ. They know who they are. Also, a healthy family doesn't stay in a pile inside their circle. They go out into the environment to make disciples. A healthy family obeys the Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Tool number four is family subsystems. Within the family system are subsystems. A traditional family consists of a husband and a wife and children. However, in most communities, less than half of the children live in a traditional family. The marital subsystem is crucial. The marital subsystem consists of the husband and the wife. God set up marriage as a type of the church. In Ephesians 5 and 1 Peter 3, you can see that spouses should treat each other with love, submission, and respect, just as Jesus demonstrated his love for the church by sacrificing himself for her. Spouses sacrifice their desires for the good of their marriage partners. Some marriages show marital schism. The spouses constantly bicker, no love, no submission, no respect, no sacrificing of needs, no joint decision making where each partner fully expresses thoughts, feelings, and opinions on the matter, no careful listening to the partner's thoughts, feelings, and opinions. No solutions are hammered out, which take into consideration each side. Instead, a marital schism brings ongoing battles, lots of heat, little listening, few solutions. To take the pressure off the marital schism and conflict, sometimes one of the partners forms a special alliance with one of the children. A special bond develops between the parent and the child. Or a far more destructive dynamic may occur. One child may misbehave in a way that distracts the marital partners from their own conflicts. This child may, in effect, become the family scapegoat. We'll discuss this more later. Other marriages show a marital skew. One strong partner, one weak partner. The strong partner is confident, forceful, a strong personality with rigid opinions, unaccustomed to being challenged. If the strong partner is challenged, they fight fiercely and don't easily give ground. The weak partner is passive, letting the strong one make all the decisions. Here's God's design from Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The parental subsystem is also crucial. In traditional families, the parental subsystem is a husband and a wife. In some families, the parental subsystem includes other people or just one parent. The two main jobs of the parental subsystem are support and control. Parents need to show a high level of support throughout the lifespan of the family. They also need to show lots of control in the early lives of their children. This control is given over to the children as the children grow and mature. In an ideal scenario, as the children mature, control is shifted from the parents to God. In many parental subsets, one parent tends to emphasize control while the other is better at support, but both partners need to work together for balance. Too much control leads to rebellion. Too much nurture leads to spoiling. At birth, parents have almost total control of their children. Gradually, though, parents release control. Think about Jesus telling his parents at age 12 that he needed to be about the business of God. Although control decreases, influence can remain. If enough respect exists between adult children and parents, adult children will continue to come to parents for advice. The parental subsystem should be tight. How well the parents work together influences the attitudes and behavior of their children. When parents are close, more invested in each other than in the child grows. When either parent invests more in the child than the other parent, the child immediately and automatically regresses. Often a family will come to you for help because of the identified problem person. Often this person is scapegoated. The problem person misbehaves or withdraws, so the parents come to you with their complaints. You'll find it easy to join the family in focusing on the problem person. It will seem logical for you to take on the parent's definition of the problem. You know, fix the kid. But if you do this, you neglect to see that the individual is part of a family system. If you only focus on the problem person, you may miss what's going on in the larger picture of the family. Let's put it all together. The next time a family asks you to untangle their messes, look at the family as a system. Ask yourself the following questions. Where is the family on the scale of closeness and separateness? Is the family a unit? Does the family also celebrate differences? What are the family boundaries? Are they permeable? Do they allow others in? Are the boundaries so impermeable that secrets abound? Is there a significant, hidden, or unnoticed pain? Undetected family pain is like a hidden cancer that grows out of control. What is the health of the marriage? Do the spouses habitually bicker? Are issues unresolved? Often one child, usually the least secure one, unconsciously takes on the problems of the family by acting out. Then the spouses can focus on the symptoms of the child instead of working out their own problems. Is one spouse weak and the other strong? Is the weak spouse forming unhealthy alliances with one or more of the children? This isolates the strong spouse from meaningful interaction with the children. Or is one of the parents, usually the weak one, forming alliances with influences outside the family, such as alcohol? These addictions can also exclude a spouse from meaningful interaction with the children. Do the parents show support to their children? Support translates into influence with the children. How about control? Do parents set limits? Do they back up their limits with effective discipline? These questions can help you untangle the system of a family, because not all problems are within the individual. The family whose child needs fixing usually needs broader help. But you know, all these tools lose their power if the Holy Spirit is not at work. Often in the middle of counseling, I pray for guidance, usually silently, or sometimes aloud with the family. As you work with the Spirit to untangle families, remember these words. First, Isaiah wrote them, and then Jesus repeated them in Luke 4:18 to 19. I pray that you will also do what Jesus did. Listen to these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.